Fakakta Comedy Funhouse Network.
Hey everybody, it's Dustin the Voice, and we are on location yet again. It seems like I hate my house and recording the episodes where we usually do. Today, we are in the burbs, and instead of Beermansky joining me, I have my beautiful girlfriend Freckles sitting in his place. Say hello.
Hello.
All right, and we're at Metal Monkey Brewing in Romeoville, Illinois, just south of Chicago. And sitting in with us from Metal Monkey Brewing is...
Hi, I'm Dan Kemp.
I'm Brett Smith.
All right. And tell us a little bit about... Well, actually, first, hold on. I forgot. I'm getting ahead of myself. The drinking game is still going on, as with every episode. So anytime somebody swears, anytime somebody makes a pop culture reference, anytime somebody has an audible expulsion of gas, it probably won't happen much on this episode, sorry. And anytime somebody says the word of the day, take a drink. And the word of the day this week is monkey. So anytime that is said, take a drink.
We're in trouble.
Yes. And... as always, our episodes are brought to you by Distill Brewing out of Bloomington Normal, which they are a fantastic brewery, and we love them oh so very much, and we appreciate them supporting our show and being on board with what we do. And yes, so although we're not drinking any Distill on this episode, we love Distill. What we are going to drink is a bunch of beer from Metal Monkey.
Does that count as saying the word of the day?
Yes. Yes, it does. And we don't have to take the drinks. This is just for the people at home, because we want them to get as loose as us. So feel free to play along.
Good. I've got a beer.
All right. So what's the first beer we're drinking?
The first one you've got there is Bikini Bottom. It's our Pineapple Goes. I think the menu has to be updated. It says 4.7%. I believe it's just over 5.
Well, I'm not going to fault you for that. If it's a little stronger, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, it looks like that one is 5.5%.
Oh, 5.5. Wow, you even underestimated yourself even a bit more.
Yeah, so this batch just went on yesterday.
Okay.
This has been one of our better-selling beers, actually, and... it's a kettle soured goes, which is, if you're not familiar with the style, it's a slightly salty, slightly sour German wheat beer. We add some pineapple into it just to make it a little more interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And,
call it Bikini Bottom because it reminds us of SpongeBob. Like pineapple under the sea would be a little salty.
That's a pop culture reference. And now tell us a little bit about Metal Monkey and how you guys... this is a fairly new... place, just opened earlier this year, correct?
We opened January 30th, so
okay,
going into our seventh week here. Background on how we got started: I met Dan about 5 years ago through my girlfriend, and was talking to her one day saying I always had an interest in starting the homebrew, but just never had the time and effort to gather all the equipment, or just the money to gather all the equipment and do it right.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know anyone local that could help me, get going, and had done it before. And she said, "Oh, Dan homebrews." So started talking to him, and he said, "I haven't brewed since we moved into the new house, and it's time I dust off the equipment." So we brewed a batch on a Friday, and then the next Friday, and the next Friday, and
and now here you are.
Now here we are.
That's awesome. And with this Bikini Bottom, I was reading the description, I expected it to be a little more sour than it is. It's a lot more easy drinking, and than a lot of goes is, they are a little really acidic and hard to drink fast. I could put this away easy.
Yeah, that's, we've done a few batches of that here, and, sometimes it's kind of hard to tell with the different, the lactobacillus and stuff like that, how it's actually going to react.
Right.
And what it's going to end up tasting like, and we're really happy with the way this batch turned out. It's, a lot of people in the area aren't used to sour beers.
Yeah.
But they like having something with some fruit in it. So it's a good kind of training wheels beer for people that are getting into...
It's a kettle sour?
It is a kettle sour, yeah.
And is this the first one that you guys have done as an official release, sour-wise?
The third batch that we've done, but of the same beer. But, this is the first sour beer that we've done as a commercial brewery.
Well, I'm digging it, so if it's your first one, you're starting off.
Saltiness. And the description that you gave was perfect. There would be like a pineapple under the sea.
Exactly, yeah.
Steel actually is one of the first gozes I've ever had.
Yeah.
A few years ago, one of my favorite ale houses around this area. And that got me going in that style, and I was telling Dan about it, and he's like, I don't think I've ever had one, so we did a little research, bought a couple, and then just jumped right in and brewed a couple.
Yeah, you should. They've got one coming out that's a dry hop sour. It's fucking amazing. The Here Goes to Nothing was my favorite. Mm-hmm. The dry hop took the cake now. So
definitely,
they're supposed to be canning it down the road. So try. Awesome. Make sure you keep an eye out for that. I think you can find it on draft some places, but that's about it. All right. Well, I'm gonna finish this one real quick. Why don't you tell us what the second beer we will be enjoying is?
Sure. The second one is our Simian Fever. It's our hibiscus wheat beer. Do you want to give some info on that
one? Dan and I went after we first started brewing together, joined the Joliet Brewers Guild together to hook up with some like-minded homebrewers and. A couple months in, they had a wheat beer contest, so I was looking around on the internet for some wheat beer recipes. Came across one that had hibiscus in it. I knew nothing about hibiscus other than it was a flower.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to jump in and try that one. Coincidentally, the night we were brewing that, we didn't know where to get hibiscus, so ended up asking everyone we knew until a couple people said, it's used a lot in the Hispanic cooking. So my girlfriend went to Fiesta Mart and found some fresh dried hibiscus and came home with that and a six pack of Rosa.
There you go.
Revolution's hibiscus.
I was gonna say that's the only hibiscus beer I've had is from Revolution.
I had never even heard of Rosa until that night.
Yeah.
And I was a little deflated after we were on this beer is gonna be amazing, it's gonna be so good. And then she comes in with a six-pack of this other hibiscus beer. I'm like, son of a bitch, someone beat us to the punch.
It wasn't a completely original idea. We pulled it off from the internet. But, it was just kind of funny that we'd never heard of Rosa.
It's hard to do something that is completely original. It may be something that you can't get around where you are never had before. But, it's as long as beer has been around, it's going to be hard to find something completely original.
But since we've been open, I've thrown out a couple of just ridiculously stupid ideas, which may have been after a night of drinking, but upon looking them up later, I found that somebody else has already done it. I'm like, really? Like, that was as far-fetched as I could get. Someone's already done it.
My nights of drunken abandon still come up with, no original idea. It's all right. I'm sure your epiphanies are down the road. You'll have something.
I'm sure.
Just keep getting drunk late at night and writing things down, and you'll be good to go.
Or beer with some blowfish or something in it soon. Oh, God.
Now, since you guys have opened, what have you noticed has been your most popular beers?
It's probably a toss-up between the one you're drinking now and our Funky Mucker, the chocolate peanut butter imperial.
I've heard good things about that one. That was definitely going to be on my list to try.
Favorites. Any of the hoppy beers we've had on have been really popular.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually in the process right now of carbonating up our double IPA. I was hoping it would be on by now, but unfortunately not yet.
Ah, bummer.
And that one we call it Tony's Car. That one has been very popular, too. We do one called Monkey Knife Fight, a pale ale that, again, I was hoping to have on today.
Yeah, I've heard of that one, too.
But that'll probably be on tomorrow. And then we just did our first new beer at the brewery that we sold out of last week. It was about a week and a half, I think, to go through the whole batch of that. It was an IPA we called Big Chimpin.
Okay.
And so, yeah, like I said, anything hoppy, and then it seems like the Simian Fever and the Funky Mucker have been the most popular.
Okay, cool.
Aside from those.
Now, do you guys have aspirations of eventually bottling and canning? Are you content with just doing the howler fills and the on-site only stuff for right now?
I think we would like to get into bottling and canning at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
We're so new right now that
right.
we're struggling to keep up with the demand that we're selling out of here, which is a nice problem to have.
Yeah, exactly.
It lets us, in our first month, we upgraded our kettles as well as our one of our fermenters. We got a new 7-barrel fermenter, so
cool.
We're trying to step up production gradually, get to the point where we can start bottling, canning, whatever it is. We just got 9 barrels in the other day, so we want to do some barrel-aged beers as well, and then maybe do like a bomber release of those or whatever, something along
Yeah, very
lines.
Cool.
Yeah.
And that'll open you up for doing some wicked-ass monkey art for your bombers and stuff.
Yeah, Simian Fever is actually one that we've got some California wine barrels. So
oh, okay.
We've done 3 versions of the Simian Fever. There's Simian Fever, Simian Pandemic, which is just our imperial version.
That okay.
Half the imperial.
Yeah, because
spiked it with
yeah, fever, and then
yep.
right, yeah,
and then there's Simian Plague.
Okay.
Which is the soured version of the Pandemic.
Nice.
We spiked that with some Roseleri yeast and let that ferment for about a year and a half. I'd like to try to do that here on the larger scale. It's waiting a year and a half for a beer to finish is going to be rough.
I do the hibiscus isn't overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, with the Revolution one, I mean, as soon as you open it, you smell it immediately on the nose. This one's a lot, I think, more subtle, mm-hmm. which I prefer. That it's not overly flowery, and yeah, it's very, very easy drinking as well.
Definitely.
This is beer that's been kind of shocking, the people that order that. There's mm-hmm. a couple people that I would qualify as beer nerds that come in and they go straight to the Simian Fever
yeah.
every time. But then it's also the great one for, it's a decent training wheel type beer.
Yeah.
And it's also one for the wine drinkers too.
Yeah, I find wheat beers tend to be,
tartness to it.
Those are entryway beers for a lot of people,
definitely.
Myself included, you know.
And we actually get a lot of people in here that say, well, I don't like wheat beer. Like, well, it's not, it doesn't quite taste like your yeah. average wheat beer, so give it a try, and then they'll end up ordering.
Yeah.
Yeah, 9 out of 10 times, if I give one to someone, they still end up ordering it.
Yeah, and you're like, I told you so. Have faith in me.
Right? This is a good beer disguised as a wheat beer, so.
Very, very good. Well, on Drunken Lullabies, we love our beer, and we also love our music. And today's band of the week, I figure we're in the Chicago area. We should feature a Chicago band. It's only fitting.
Nice.
So the band of the week is Hemmingbirds. And the first song we're going to play, it's off their new EP, Half a Second. And a little bit of history about the band. As I said, they're based out of Chicago. And the singer, Yoo-Sun Kim, he formed the band by writing 10 songs that became their debut album, Death Wave. And then Zach and Tim joined the band to bring these tracks to life, and they recorded the debut album in 2010. Then in 2012, they did their second album, The Vines of Age. And as I mentioned, we're going to play a song from their new EP, Half a Second, which just came out earlier this year and has 4 great tracks on it. They're a great indie rock band, up and coming. They're friends with The Kickback, who we have already featured and sat in on an episode in the past. So we're all over the Chicago indie rock scene. So this is Hemmingbirds, and this is Mess of Things on Drunken Lullabies.
I was running to the grave. I was
we're back, and we're here to drink more monkey beer of the metallic nature. Now, I'm guessing you guys are both metal fans. I mean, I'm looking at the wall. Are those T-shirts that are wrapped around like a Hot Topic display board up on the wall over here?
They're actually wooden frames.
I thought maybe they were out of your guys' T-shirt collection.
They are, actually, the T-shirts.
Okay.
But yeah, we had a ton of different T-shirts laying around, myself.
Yeah, King Diamond.
That we know that wanted to donate to the cause. So
awesome.
You know, when we first started looking into how to decorate the place, Rachel, Brett's girlfriend, brought up, well, why don't we use some T-shirts for sound dampening? It's good use of old shirts, and, you know, it'll... You know, we're in a big warehouse, so it's a good way to block the sound.
Yep. We noticed with a lot of craft breweries, they're always back in areas like this. Mm-hmm. Is it because it's the rent and everything is better for, you know, making production stuff that you're not in a big, huge business retail area?
Yeah, retail, was about double the price per square foot as this place. Also, the village here, they didn't want the brewing operation to be done in a retail location. So it was all about zoning. The building was zoned as manufacturing, industrial. And so they, you know, that was good for the brewing, not so much for the tasting room.
Yeah.
So they had to actually pass an ordinance to allow us to serve up in the tasting room here as well.
Well, at least they did that for you.
Yeah, yeah. They've been great to work with.
Good,
actually.
Good.
Yeah,
I think the only place that we've been where there was actually a brewery in like the main downtown was Indianapolis. Mm. And there was a couple, like we went to Sun King and Flat 12 and like Three Wise Men. And those were all within the city. Like almost every other brewery we've gone to, it's along these back roads. Yeah. And
definitely cheaper rent's definitely a factor. And then there's so much more, it's easier to work with. Like this was an empty box. So the landlords put up the bathroom, everything else was open. So we were able to come in, design our floor plan as we wanted. There's a lot better hookups for the drains and stuff.
And it's cool with these kind of places because you can sit here, and if you guys are working, and actually, it's right there. There's like no barrier. You can watch the whole process. And,
we've been brewing on Saturday mornings, and the customers seem to enjoy that and come back. And
that's cool. Very cool.
Yeah, there's been a couple days where we haven't been brewing, and people look back there and like, so you guys ever actually brew here?
They're disappointed.
Yeah, so that people like to feel like seeing that. Right, exactly.
So this third beer we are going to drink, I love the name of it, so go ahead and tell us about it.
Sure, this is our Fantasy Bowling League. It's a dry-hopped Kolsch beer. When we started getting serious about the idea of opening up a brewery, we got a giant whiteboard in my basement just full of ideas, beer names, recipe ideas, things like that. And somebody put Fantasy Bowling League on the wall. Nobody remembers who did it, but, we thought it would be a great beer name for a Kolsch because, it's a nice light drinking beer.
Yeah,
kind of thing you might drink while you're bowling. We're in a area where Romeoville here, there's not a whole hell of a lot of craft beer drinkers, so we figured we'd need something that could appeal to people that aren't.
Right.
Try to get them on board with craft beer. So, I've never been a huge fan of the Kolsch style, but, when we started brewing this beer, I kind of fell in love with it.
It's
a great drinking beer. We dry hop it with lemon drop hops to just give it a subtle lemony type flavor to it, which I think is something that helps kind of bring over people who might not be interested in craft beer, just, kind of get them interested in different flavors than they're used to.
Yeah, like a Pilsner, is a little step sideways, opening the door, you said, with the wheat beers. So, yeah, it's, are either of you guys bowlers?
Probably not, actually.
No.
Oh, we've gone
in fantasy.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Playing the whole, I remember, it seems like, I think Darren came up with that name. We were sitting around drinking beer, shooting shit.
Giving him credit. It goes to his head.
It could be. It could have been someone else, I think. But I remember it seemed like we were talking about, sorry for people out there who do fantasy sports, but we were talking about how dumb fantasy sports are. And how it's a damn near full-time job for the people that get into it.
For some people. I do play fantasy baseball and fantasy football. What I like about football is it's one day a week. Baseball, it's a little... and if I have a team that is just struggling, I just set my lineup like a week in advance, and I know pay attention. Like, oh crap, I've got like three people that got injured this week.
Right.
But no, there was one league I was in that I stopped participating because it was a buy-in league, and this dude, that's all he was. But yeah, like you couldn't get anybody off of waiver wires and stuff, and it was like it got to where it wasn't even competitive. It's like I might as well just give Jeremy my $20 and right. just like not waste my time. So
yeah, the amount of time and effort that people put into it,
yeah,
it's great that people have something they enjoy. But
right.
we were just making fun of that, and we're like, you know, bowling or fantasy squash would be that'd be something that we could keep up with and maybe get into and
badminton.
Yeah, like Dan said, we've got a whiteboard in his basement that we need to move over here that's got probably 15 different beer ideas and 45 names on it that we've
okay.
just not
and that, honestly, so. That's half the battle sometimes is getting a you know, you say how like beers, everything's been done before. Mm-hmm. Names are just as bad because you just go on Untappd and you're like, oh yeah, I got this great idea. Fuck, somebody else already did that, you know?
Everything with a Z or right. B's now. Or...
you know, so yeah, that, I mean, that's sometimes coming up with an original name is even more difficult and it has to suit the beer. And,
right. Yeah, that's one tricky part too. So we've got all these names, but it has to match the beer.
Yeah.
You know?
I've always said that's my most enjoyable part of brewing is naming the beers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you guys were smart, and not every beer is monkey themed.
Yeah,
because that would get even more difficult. You know, primate right. punch. Right. You know, and
there's one for
primate pilsner. I guess would make more sense, but trademark. That'll be a Drunken Lullabies approved beer. So, what are some of your guys' favorite metal bands? Like, whose shirts were whose?
Oh, jeez.
So, like I said, when I walked in, I approved of the music that was playing. I think in before we started recording, I heard Rancid and Social D, and there was good Flogging Molly, and no, it was Dropkick Murphys was playing right before we recorded.
Yes,
so
yeah.
Appropriate, you know, it is the day after St. Patrick's Day,
right.
So
yeah, I think that was left on our playlist from yesterday.
That was the XM.
Our theme song is Drunken Lullabies by Flogging Molly. Nice. So you know, I'm all about that.
Very cool.
But yeah, I see you know, Motorhead's up there. I'm glad I got to see Lemmy at Riot Fest before
yeah.
he passed. It was just not the best performance, but I can at least say I saw. Oh yeah,
yeah.
You could tell he was just toughing it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I at least got to see Motorhead before Motorhead doesn't now they don't exist.
Right.
You know, you can't have Motorhead without Lemmy.
Right? Yeah, I've seen them a handful of times.
Yeah.
In my day, I think most of the shirts that are up there right now are mine. Trying to think. Actually, the King Diamond ones are not, and I think everything else might be.
Okay.
None of them are mine.
None of them are yours?
I'm the monkey in Metal Monkey.
Okay. So you just listen to the monkeys?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow, that's a short catalog. I never knew that about you.
You know, staring across from me, we've got a Sex Pistols reference of the God Save the Queen with a monkey wearing the crown jewels behind the Union Jack. That's a... I took a picture to post
nice.
With the episode, so...
And that's by the artist Banksy.
Oh, okay. Is that... probably not an original Banksy,
yeah.
then. No.
Unfortunately.
No. Now,
the original might be able to buy a new fermenter for that.
Right, right.
Eventually,
yeah.
Beer number four, what do we got?
Beer number four is the Ellis Redding. It's an Irish red brewed for St. Patrick's Day. Jason, our other brewer, he has been brewing this one at home for many years.
Okay.
He's won a handful of awards with it. And I think it's a great beer. I've been drinking a lot of it. Somebody asked me yesterday if I preferred this or our Irish Stout, which is one of Breton, my old recipes. And reluctantly, I kind of like Jason's a little more, but that's not...
Liking the Breton.
That's not to say that the Stout's...
No, you're making him drink more.
Right.
He's going to double fist now. Now, is this a reference to Otis Redding?
No, apparently this is a reference to a character from The Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Andy Dufresne?
No, not Andy Dufresne.
No, that's the only thing I can say in Morgan Freeman talk.
Morgan Freeman's character is Ellis Reddy. Someone asks him why they call him Red. He said, "Oh, maybe it's because I'm Irish." Something along those lines. That's where Jason
says
got
that
the name
in
from.
The...
Does it?
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, okay. Must be.
The description.
You gotta.
You could tell I didn't write this movie. I've been a big fan of this one. It did come out a little darker than it had in the homebrew batches in years past, but it's still, it's still got a nice color, I think.
I like the. It's almost got like a cranberry-ish.
Yeah, I can kind of. And what I noticed with a lot of reds that I've drank and not really been a fan of, because reds are hit and miss for me, this is not earthy,
right?
Which, you know, I've said before, like, this beer tastes dirty.
Right.
But, like, not, yeah, exactly. And I'm just not really a fan of that, or I have to be in the right kind of mood. Because, yeah, there's been times I've bought a six-pack of a red, and it has sat in my fridge for... Like, I'll drink one a month, you know, just because, like, I don't really feel like eating dirt today, so.
Yeah, same for me. Reds are very hit or miss. When I find one I like, it's I love it, and I'll drink the hell out of it, but most of them just, I don't like the mouthfeel to them.
Yeah.
There's something weird. They feel watery to me, and it's just, I don't know, I don't like the way they sit on my tongue.
Yeah.
This one's all right for you?
This one's not as bad.
All right.
Not as bad. There's a ringing endorsement.
I haven't figured out what it is about the mouthfeel on ambers and reds that I don't like.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird. Like, yeah, you can't verbalize it sometimes. It's just, I just know I don't like it, you know? Yeah, I'm still kind of bummed your IPA is not available. We're both hop heads, so like that's our go-tos. I can guarantee without even tasting it, we would have got a howler of that to take home probably.
Yeah, we might be able to pull some out of the break.
No,
not be carbonated enough yet, but
you know what?
Yeah.
I wouldn't complain.
Let me see what I can do here.
All right. Well, while you're doing that, I think we'll hear a word from one of our brother shows on the network. It's Friday when we are recording this, and that means it's a new episode of IBWIP on the FCF network. So let's hear a little bit about IBWIP.
For over 8 years, Blake Clayton, the podcasting god, has brought you the best in roots music, adult comedy, and real talk with his ever-revolving cast of co-hosts in the form of It Burns When IP. Join one of the true podcast originators along with intern Heather and the Bottle Cap Kid as they play games, interview interesting characters, and just maybe uncover the meaning of life. New episodes of IBWIP can be found every Friday on the Fakakta Comedy Network. Check us out at fcfnetwork.com and join in on the fun.
Now, I'm looking, you have a sign here that says Monkey House Rules. Who came up with the house rules? Is that you?
We all came up with them together, but I think it was my idea to have a rules list.
Okay. So for those of you at home, I'm going to read them off right now. I already took a picture, but rule number one, don't be a dick. That's just how it should be, no matter where you are, but especially in a brew pub. Don't be a dick. Two, scoot down, make room, offer a seat. Again, common courtesy, you don't always need a buffer seat. You're drinking beer together, you might meet your new best friend. You know, just be courteous. Number three, no hate. I'm going to jump down to number five. That sounds like hate to me. No Bon Jovi. I happen to enjoy 80s era Bon Jovi, some 90s. So I'm not totally with you. Current Bon Jovi, yeah, I'm all right with that. I like the dichotomy of the no hate, but no Bon Jovi.
Somebody asked about that yesterday.
Yeah.
And I said, we're not hating. We're showing respect to our ears by now.
Okay. And number four is don't steal our shit. Again, you would like to think you wouldn't have to say that, but...
We got so many random trinkets and things.
Yeah, yeah. And number six, don't forget to be awesome. So, yeah, that's a solid rule, I think. So, well, you did us a kindness and got us this that's not on draft yet. So yeah, you can't read a description here. You're going to have to pull this from memory.
I know all about this.
All right. Well, let's hear it.
This one is called Tony's Car. It's our double IPA. And I know you're going to ask about the name because everyone asks about the name. When Brett and I first started brewing together, the first beer that we brewed was it the first?
It was about the third.
Third, okay. We were talking about, was it King Goblin?
Yes.
It was like the Hobgoblin.
Yeah.
They do the King Goblin. King Goblin, they say, is only brewed under a full moon. So we figured it would be kind of cool to do something similar, you know, only brew on like some astronomical event or whatever. So we brewed a beer for the spring equinox that was an IPA.
Yes.
Yes.
It was a two-hearted-ish clone.
Yeah.
Okay. That's nothing wrong with that.
No, it turned out to be a really good beer. We tweaked it over the
year. Yeah, it's got a good nose on it, doesn't it?
Then we decided to brew a beer for the summer solstice as well, and I'm a big hophead myself,
yeah.
So I wanted to do a double IPA.
What ABV does this clock in?
This is 8.5.
8.5? Okay.
Yeah. Or no, 8.1, I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. That's right in my wheelhouse.
Cool.
That's like my go-to. Like, I'm a 7 or 8 usually. Nice. That's what I like drinking.
So, yeah, we decided to brew this big beer for the summer solstice and make it a double IPA. I think it corresponded with some competition with our homebrew club, too. We were kicking around a bunch of solstice-related names, and nothing was good. It was all cheesy or stupid or already taken. And then I remembered my friend Tony drives a Pontiac Solstice, and he's in love with the car. So I said, well, shit, what if we just name it after Tony's car? And the name is stuck.
There you go.
Tony doesn't drink anymore, unfortunately for him, and he never liked the double IPAs or IPAs anyway, so we stuck it to Tony. Like you said, this guy loves his car. He's a member of like these Pontiac Solstice rally groups and Facebook groups, and goes out and does like solstice only rallies and
that's
stuff
a
like
thing?
That. And
wow.
So, yeah.
We're talking, we want to do this summer, we want to do a Tony's Car Day. And maybe we can coincide.
You can take pictures with his car out in the parking lot.
There with velvet robes.
Nice.
You know, $5, you can get your picture taken in the car. $10, you can get it taken in the car with Tony in the passenger seat. He would totally eat that shit up.
Now, is he going to charge you an appearance fee?
He may.
Yeah,
he'll give him some beer.
Yeah.
That he can't drink.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah, typically this beer we dry hop with Citra, Simcoe, and Galaxy hops. Didn't have any Citra this time around, though, so we subbed in Mosaic instead.
Citra is my favorite, but honestly, this, even without the Citra, is delicious.
Well, thank you. I'm really happy with this beer. It's,
As soon as I put it up to my nose, I was like, oh, okay, this is what I was missing.
Yeah, the first time we brewed this beer and it came out really well, I was like, wow, this is the beer I've always wanted to brew.
Mm-hmm.
I just absolutely love it. I'll go back to this beer anytime.
What is it, 120 IBU?
110.
It's not a kick in the face.
No.
Hops either.
No.
You can taste the malt. I like IPAs, but I'm not a fan of just nothing but hops. I like some flavor, some maltiness to it. This one, I think, does a great job. The response to this beer has been crazy, too. There's people that claim they don't like IPAs like that one. My girlfriend does not IPAs or IPAs very often. She loves that beer when we drink it.
Usually a ringing endorsement if somebody's like, I don't like this, but I like yours.
We have a couple customers that come in, look at the menu, order a Tony's Car, look at the menu again, order another Tony's Car, look at the menu again, and they're like, God, just give me another Tony's Car. I can try something else, but we have this little, she's probably early 50s or whatever.
Okay.
That little lady just comes in by herself, sets her purse up in the bar, and says, give me a Tony's Car. And she goes, 1, 2, 3, pays and leaves.
Yeah.
Every time, she's just happy as can be.
Good.
Not what you would picture, you know?
Right.
If she would have sat down, I would be reaching for the Bikini Bottom or something else.
Right.
Right.
Interesting. Well, you never know what people's taste buds are going to be wanting.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's pretty funny. Well, I think while we enjoy the rest of the Tony's Car that we've got poured, I think I'm going to play another song from Hemmingbirds. And this song is called Stay. And I was talking to them, and they are craft beer fans as well, which we also like incorporating. We like bands that are indie but also enjoy a good craft beer themselves. And I asked for some faves. They're from Chicago, so of course they were name checking Revolution and Three Floyds and Lagunitas. And they also are big fans of Nuglaris, 21st Amendment, and Yingling, which isn't technically craft beer, but it's been around forever. It's it's a regional thing. So yeah, while we finish Tony's car, let's listen to Hemmingbirds. This is Stay off of Half a Second here on Drunken Lullabies. Stay, and I think I'm going to stay here a little bit longer and keep drinking some more beer, if that's all right with you guys. What do we got next?
Next, we have Bing.
Bing. Now, it's an acronym.
It is an acronym.
What does that stand for?
It stands for Because It's Not Guinness.
Okay. And it's looks like an Irish stout.
Yeah. It's another brewed for St. Patrick's Day.
4%, so 4%. We're not going to send me over the edge here.
No.
Did you serve a lot of these up yesterday?
Oh, yeah. We were packed yesterday.
That's great.
It was really nice.
Yeah, had some corned beef and stuff, it looked like.
Yeah, a good friend of ours cooked up 30-some pounds of corned beef, brought it in.
I wouldn't have partaken in that. I'd have just drank the beer.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just me.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That's the main reason we want people to come in.
Yeah. You'd had some shepherd's pie. I might have been up on that, but... Yeah, the corned beef and the cabbage, just not my thing.
I hear you.
And then the guys are like, yeah, we're having barbecue tonight. It's like, fuck you. We're not going to be here tonight.
It's a good fucking barbecue, too.
It is, yeah.
They're just, like, setting up in here. Are they going to have, like, is it a food truck?
It's not a truck. They've got a location about probably 6 or 8 miles from here.
Oh, okay.
And they've been trying to do something with a couple of the local breweries.
That's cool.
Apparently the last one they were working with didn't quite work out for them, so...
Well, fuck them. You guys get it now.
Exactly. So they came in here and, you know, we told them, bring whatever you want, you know, price it however you want, and, you know...
That's how it should be. You know, the smaller companies got to stick together.
Exactly.
And
they're a family-owned little place. And again, so they're about 6-8 miles from here. They smoke everything right on the premise.
Awesome.
They're starting to get into some craft beer and have some bottled stuff. They eventually want to put in a tap line, too. So.
Now, if you guys have any aspirations to do a smoked beer, you know who to collaborate with, you know. Although, I'll be honest, smoked beers are... That's another hit and miss for me, too.
Really,
that's a category that needs to die.
I used to love smoked beers, and then a couple of years back, homebrewing, I had some beers that... They got infected somehow, and it gave it kind of an off-smoky flavor. So now I just equate smoky-flavored beer to those failure beers.
And to me, it always tastes like if you imagine, like, licking the bottom of a drip pan after someone's...
No, it's just,
that's not beer flavor.
Yeah.
I have had a couple good ones, but it's just got to be a slight hint. It's got to be in the background. It's not...
Right.
When it's up front. It's...
Wasn't there one that I ordered at Three Floyds the last time we were there? I can't remember.
I ordered that one at Three Floyds, and I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, it was like... Yeah. Very... and then we got the beef jerky to go with it, which that's delicious.
Oh, at Three...
So it was just smoke on smoke, and it was like, yeah, I'm... I need a zombie dust or something right now.
Right.
Now, it says this was available on Nitro as well.
It is, yes.
Do you typically get more people ordering it that way, or they just go traditional?
They usually just go with the traditional.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I like the Nitrogen a lot of times just because it, you know, makes it a little smoother.
Right.
And
I'm with you. And a lot of people, I don't know if...
That's probably because I'm a hop head, right. You know, and like the overly... I don't drink coffee. Mm. Freckles does. You love your coffee.
Yeah, I love coffee.
So, yeah, she probably would be more predisposed to like stouts than myself.
Sure.
But
I'll send you with some coffee. We roast some here.
Really?
Really?
It's just a very small time for personal use. And
okay.
Occasionally makes its way into a beer.
That's cool.
But, I'll give you that.
Well, there's a fun fact we didn't know. You got any?
I beer recently. Monkey Mocha was coffee vanilla. Porter.
Yep.
Okay.
Coffee was roasted in-house for.
That sounds good. And, you know, yeah, porters not typically is well, they're not roasted, you know, like the stouts are. So, yeah, those tend to be more of what I, and with the vanilla, yeah, that sounds really, really good.
That was another really popular one that we're actually talking about in the summertime when we probably don't need to have more than one dark beer on.
Yeah.
Kind of switch between that one and the Funky Mucker, which is the last one you guys are going to try.
Well, it would depend on who your clientele is, because my co-host, Beermansky, is this the On Nitro?
Nitro.
Oh, okay, cool. He can drink nothing but dark beers all day,
right.
And he is happy as a pig in shit, whereas I need something light at least every three beers.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Like, I can drink a dark beer year-round, but I have to kind of mix in some other beers with that. I can't just exclusively drink something really dark and heavy.
Yeah, his birthday party was ridiculous. I'm texting Brianna through the whole debacle, and they're just pulling out all these whales, these imperial stouts, one after another. And then there were some sours thrown in, so that kind of helped. But they just kept getting... heavier and heavier and thicker and darker, and like they're drinking Maman from, I think that's Perennial or Side Project, one of those two out of St. Louis. And I'm just like, guys, I need a pale ale or an IPA. Right. I can't keep doing this. I had to pull a hop skip out of my stash from Brickstone. So that was, that helped. And it's like, okay, I'm back in now. I had to take a step back.
Yeah.
It happens, man. I don't know. Maybe down the road, my palate will. It almost seems like a devolving for me because I love just the hops and, right. and bright, crisp flavors. Mm-hmm. So if I just go to the dark side, I like being a Jedi, you know? Like, I can dabble in the dark side, but I tend to remain in the light.
With too many dark beers, too, is you really start to lose the flavor.
Exactly. Yeah. It coats your palate and the... Yeah, they're just... Yeah. They all taste the same after so long.
We've been to some big tasting parties and things like that, and by the end of the night, everything kind of just tastes the same, or you just can't taste anything. It's a little rough. And then that's when everyone starts to bust out the, you know, 25% alcohol beers, and they're like, well, I can't taste it. Maybe I should have a little more.
25, huh?
Passed out.
I don't think I've had any that high.
I might be.
I don't. I was going to say, I'm sure there are some. I don't think I've ever cleared 20%. There was one episode. It's my least favorite episode. It is well documented. It's my least favorite episode. We only drank 4 beers on the show, but they were all like 18, 19%ers.
That's brutal.
And it was a shit show by the end of it. Like, two conversations going on at the same time between 5 different people. It was a mess. But the beer was good.
Yeah. From what you remember.
Yeah. And what's weird is my pick of the week was the last beer we drank, and it was a sour.
Okay.
And it was because the other ones were like coffee stout, vanilla
right.
coffee stout, you know, mocha. It was the brewery, so it was like Mocha Wednesday, Black Tuesday, Gray Monday, I think.
Yeah.
We drank them in order of the days of the week. And then the last one was Tart of Darkness.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Which I liked that just based on the name.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That's great. Yeah, and that's, you know, like a $20 bomber, I think. That was really good. I'm going to have to buy another one of those for you and I to drink. You haven't had that one. I have a tough time dropping $20 on a bottle of beer.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
I was recently unemployed, so, I mean, I had to buy a 30-pack of PBR out of desperation to help.
That was when we knew it was...
that's when he knew things... It was tough times for
right.
Dustin when he bought PBR to drink after a couple craft beers to let his reserves last a little longer.
Wow.
Yeah, but guess what? The next day I got a job nice. Offer, so I was
there
like, all right, well, I'm back in the game.
I had to do it once. That's okay.
Yeah.
If it became a regular thing.
No. So that 30-pack of PBR will probably be in there till the end of the summer.
Yeah.
Who am I kidding? It'll probably be in there till the end of, like, next month.
Cook some brats with it or something.
Yeah, totally. Opening day for baseball season's coming
absolutely.
Up. You know. If you're not a baseball fan, bowling season's probably going on. Get your fantasy teams in order and have a draft day. If we're drafting bowlers, I want to select Bill Murray's character from Kingpin. I can't remember his name, but yeah, that he's going to be my first pick, I think. All right. Well, I think we saved the one for last. It's got its own little fancy glass here, a mini snifter.
Yep. And this is the Funky Mucker. This is our, this one is 8%. So again, the menu's out of.
Yeah, it says 7.5.
We've had a lot of new batches come on tab in the last couple of days. And I didn't want to reprint the menus until we had everything switched out, but...
Can't say I blame you.
Yeah. That doesn't look like that's going to happen, so...
Bones ABV.
Exactly. So, yeah, this is our chocolate peanut butter Russian Imperial Stout. It's probably been our best-selling beer.
Is it just because... The name is catchy.
Oh, yeah, the name's catchy. It's
Funky Mucker.
It's hard to say after you've had
it. Exactly. It reverts back to what it's supposed
exactly.
to be playing off. Yeah, I'll have
and
a monkey fucker.
When we encourage people to say it that way, and they're like, I'm a little scared to say it.
Well, on Drunken Lullabies, we are not afraid of the
good,
F word.
Good.
People just point at it sometimes. At festivals, like, I'll have that. I'm like, come come on, you got to say it.
You don't get it unless you say it.
Exactly.
Well, I'm gonna take my first sip here. Yep, smells good.
Don't drink it if you have a peanut allergy. I should have said that before. Right?
Oh, no, no. Just
took a sip.
My favorite milk stouts are always the peanut butter ones. Okay. Those are what I prefer. And, you know, we probably save this for last. Let it acclimate, mm-hmm. warm up a little bit. She hates that.
Okay.
However...
I was going to say, that one seems like it needs a little bit of warming up.
Yeah.
It just comes right
try
up.
Try it. She drinks the darker ones as cold as possible because they just go down easier that way, I think.
Right.
I won't drink a warm IPA like a room temperature IPA, yeah. though.
No, the dark beers, I'll sit and hold it, cup it in my hand,
yeah.
put it between my thighs or whatever.
These are definitely more tolerable if it were to get to room temperature than any other.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, right.
But I still prefer them to be.
Do you warm the customer's beers between your thighs or
yes.
just your own?
Well,
is that something if somebody comes in and they're like, hey, I don't want to wait. Like, can this be warm betwixt your legs? Okay, well, there you go. Now you know.
I'm like a busy night.
Hey, it's hard walking around.
That's crazy.
We're,
I can't believe I've ruined
more than one pair of jeans.
Add that to the house rules.
Brett will warm your beard between his
thighs. You have to come up with, like, a code word, like a... I don't know what you would even call it, but yeah, you can put it on them, and they're like for a dollar, and you're like, what's that? Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, man. Yeah, this is good. And you probably like the glass.
I do.
The glass is, it's all
miniature.
Little and cute.
People comment on that all the time. Oh, it's so cute.
Because this is considered, the half-pour portion?
Yeah, these are all the
half-pours. Okay.
When so our... Oh, go ahead. So
Tony's Car and Funky Mucker, we do in the 5 and 10.
Okay.
Because we're ABV.
Do you guys have a lot of people come in do flights, or do they just typically go for a full pint and just say whatever?
You know, a lot of people go for the half-pours, and
okay.
they'll just kind of get one at a time as they go. On the weekends, more so, we get people that are like, okay, give me just all
yeah.
six or whatever it is. And, you know, sometimes we'll have seven or eight on tap.
Yeah, when you only have, you know, five or six, mm-hmm. That's what I'll do.
Oh,
I'll be
yeah.
like, fuck it, just give me the whole run.
Right.
If you get to a brewery that has 20, however,
mm-hmm.
you got to get a little more selective.
Exactly.
Because
yeah.
I'm not sleeping there.
Right.
So, yeah, it's, although we, my birthday road trip, we went to Green Tree. They had a flight of 14, and I tackled that. They had seven, like, regulars and then seven seasonal limited ones. And it was like a circle serving dish, and they did all theirs in plastic cups. They were a newer place, and...
No, we had plastic here for our first three
yeah.
weeks because we were waiting on our other glassware to come in.
And they bring it out, and it's, like, the full tray. It's just...
Wow.
Full of cups, and I'm like, all right, let's do this, you know, and by the end, I don't know if I remember the last couple, but some of those seasonal ones were like that, it was the mango IPA, right? I think that was our favorite one of the
nice.
Day, and that was one, had I just got the regular fly to seven, I wouldn't have
right.
even tried, so, yeah, sometimes you just gotta take one for a team and drink 14 beers, you know? You never know. Now, typically, at this portion of the show, we ask our guests some questions. And Brianna and I have already done this because we're on the show. But it would be nice to hear your guys' response, especially being craft brewers. What is the first craft beer the two of you remember enjoying?
I'll let you start because you're older.
I'm old.
How old are you?
I'm 46.
Okay.
So it would have been Bell's Soul Sun, which is now Oberon.
Okay. That's their wheat.
Yes.
Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah.
Some people love it, though.
One of the first true craft beers that I cut my teeth on. I'm from Michigan, so...
Okay.
Grew up in the Grand Rapids area, so Bell's was...
Are you a Red Wings fan?
Who's that?
You're from Michigan. Wait, you're a black. You've reverted
to sports.
Oh, just not. Okay. All right.
Fantasy bowling league. Come on.
Well, yeah, you know, just because you don't play fantasy sports doesn't mean you don't like any sports.
Tend not to like them.
Yeah. All right. Well, you were wearing red and white. I thought, you know, that is Andre the Giant's face peeking out in that star,
true.
Though. Anybody want the peanut?
That,
yep, that's Andre.
Yeah, he uses Andre's face all over.
Yeah, Andre has a posse or something like that, or is it? I can't remember what the original. It was just his face, and then it was like graffiti art, and they would plaster it up all over the place.
Yeah, Bay is the label that goes on here. Shepherd Perry is the artist, but yeah, there's a couple shirts I have his face and it says. Yeah, 7'10", 500.
Well, since you're wearing a Shepherd shirt, you got Banksy art on the wall. I take it you've seen Exit Through the Gift Shop.
Oh yes,
this is a great documentary, isn't it?
Incredible.
I've watched it, I think, five times.
I need to watch it again. We should probably put it on here someday.
Yeah, it is on Netflix. So look that up. Yeah, Exit Through the Gift Shop.
My brother told me to watch that one.
Yeah, it was
did you see the thing that Banksy just did about Disneyland or whatever? It was supposed to be like Disneyland, but
Dismal Land.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my god, it looks pretty freaking
cool. Like I saw some pictures from it. It's like, okay, this is dismal.
Right. And there's another Banksy behind you, and then the the one at the end of the bar too was painted for me. It's a replica
in the style
Banksy
of
too.
Yeah, an homage. Very cool. Alright, so you drank Oberon. How about you?
I'm trying to think. When did
you get into craft beer?
It was probably my early 20s.
And how old are you now?
I'm 35.
You really had to think about that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't have to write the data.
I'm 34,
days,
so
I have
trouble
remembering what year it is. Let's see. Going back, I used to drink just whatever I could find at the liquor store that was different than your normal stuff. So, you know, for a while I was drinking, you know, like some of the Molson beers and things like that. I was like, ooh, Canadian. Beer. This is cool. And then,
that's import.
Right. I remember seeing some show about, on TV, they were talking about Delirium Tremens.
That, right.
And I went out and bought a bottle of it. And I was like, oh, they're talking about how this is the greatest beer ever. It's got to be good. So I drank it and I fucking hated it.
No.
And you know what? That's come to be.
Brianna's going to fight you.
Beers, honestly. But yeah, at the time I was like, this is terrible. And
that is a hard one to jump into.
Yeah. But then after a while, I got stubborn and I was like, well, it's probably just me. I'm something wrong with that bottle or the way I'm tasting it.
Yeah.
Because it's known as this great beer. So I'll try it again.
Yeah.
So I had it a couple more times and it kind of grew on me. And that's probably one of my favorite beers. Since then, I've gotten into a lot, or since after that, I should say, I got into a lot of like the Sam Adams type beers.
Okay.
You know, I still love their Boston Ale, actually. I don't know if they make it anymore. It was never huge on the Boston Lager, but the Boston Ale is just outstanding, in my opinion. And then when I decided to start brewing, I found a little brewery near me called Two Brothers, which you're probably familiar with.
Yeah.
And they had a homebrew shop, so they sold all the equipment out of their brewery, and then they had beer there, too. So I started buying all the beer that I could from them because it was a really new, cool thing for me. And I was like, oh, my God, nobody's ever heard of this place. Let's go check them out. So they're probably one of my bigger craft beer influences.
Okay.
Since starting with brewing,
anyway. Well, Brian, tell him your story. You know, he tried jumping into Delirium Tremens right out the gate.
Yeah.
Your introduction to craft beer was not too far off from that.
I had recommended to me at one of our local liquor stores a sour for my first. So luckily I was persistent because that could have been something that could have completely turned me off to.
Right.
But now I love them now.
Yeah,
but
it's funny.
I mean,
my fiance doesn't drink, and not because she's against drinking. You know, she obviously had a lot to do with getting this place opened up. But she just doesn't like the taste of beer. Sour beer,
it's
like anything sour. She's like, oh, that's incredible.
Yeah, they took me a couple years to get into, and it's funny how neither one of us cared for them at first, and now we really really like them. Do we need to pause for a station break? Do we have a delivery of something?
We might need to.
We have an unexpected delivery.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
hey.
we're gonna take a break here, and you know what? I think we'll play another song from Hemingbird. So why not? On Drunken Lullabies, here's a bonus third song just because we need one.
All right,
enjoy.
Like a swirl of wind to the lines of fire, and I praised for it.
Was Hemingbirds with a bonus song, My Love, Our Time Is Now, from the Vines of Age. That was their second album. So, guys, you got your delivery quicker than expected.
We did. Yeah, we got our racking for our barrels.
Yeah.
Really nice.
The barrels that are over there sitting on the floor, they will now be, they'll be resting.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. We were talking about, the first craft beer you guys enjoyed. What is, aside from your own, you can't pick Metal Monkey, what's some of your favorite craft breweries that you've visited?
Oh, geez. Lately I've been mostly visiting just local people.
Okay.
I don't get a chance to get out of the state much. I know you do a little more often than I do, but because he's from Michigan. But, I'm a big fan of Hailstorm up in Tinley Park. I was there just the other day, actually. Been there a handful of times since we've gotten the brewery open.
Yeah, it's just up I-80.
Yep, exactly. Right around the corner from them is 350 Brewing as well.
They are doing an event coming up later this summer that really interested me.
Fest.
Yeah, they've
we'll
got
be surfing there.
Bayside and MXPX and Menzingers are playing there.
Yeah, that should be cool.
If I can have the day off of work, I will probably be there.
I'll come hang out at our booth.
All right.
All six of us are going to be there.
So awesome.
We're trying now to start to find help to work the tap room that day.
Awesome.
Festivals we've been trying to half of us stay here, half of us go out, but that's one that all six of us are like, I'm going.
Yeah.
We'll close down if we can't find people to work for.
Yeah, I was showing her the list. A lot of the great Chicago area breweries are going to be there. It's out at a,
convention center. Right across the street from the brewery. It's
okay. And
pretty big names for,
for sure.
This is their second year doing it. It's their second anniversary party. So.
I think they've got like one of their beers is like the Pocanacha IPA or something, and that's an MXPX reference. Okay. So it makes sense that that's who they're half playing.
That's awesome. Yeah, they're big like Pumpkin Scott.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All the good old Warped Tour bands.
Oh yeah, those guys are great. Big fan of. Right over in Plainfield, not too far from here, is Workforce Brewing.
Okay.
They run a homebrew shop called Chicago Brew Works, and then Workforce is the brewery side of things.
I see.
They're putting out some awesome beer just consistently, and they've been a big help with us getting everything going here, just, advice and shit like that from somebody who's in the same county as us has dealt with all the regulations and shit.
Right.
They've been really cool.
Just be glad you don't live in Indiana.
That's right here.
Yeah.
I've visited Indiana enough to not want to live there, but... Yeah.
We love Indiana beer, but we don't love Indiana beer laws.
Yeah. And I probably can't mention local breweries without the ones who sold us our fermenters is One Trick Pony up in Lansing.
Okay.
Right on the border of Illinois and Indiana, basically. So those guys are really cool. They walked in there one night, and Dave, who works behind the bar more often than not, he looks at me, he's like, hey, I just sent you an email. I had no idea he knew how to use email. He's about 72 years old, I think, last he mentioned. I'm like, oh, what's going on? He's like, well, you've been talking about opening a brewery. Do you need some fermenters? I'm like, yeah. He's like, okay, I'm closing up in about half an hour. Come back to my house. I'll show them to you.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
Fall for that line.
Now, how about you?
Let's fall for that line.
Dan said I'm from Michigan, so I still make it back every once in a while. I just did a short little trip back home Tuesday to see my grandma. But after there, we hit two places. One was a cheese shop, which doesn't have beer, but we bought a bunch of great gourmet cheese.
There you go.
Went over to one of our favorite breweries. It's called Harmony Brewing. It's an old renovated party store I used to buy beer there in the late 80s, and it had to have been... maybe like a 600 square foot little place.
Really?
And a brother and two sisters who are real estate investors bought it, did a massive renovation, dug out a basement and added a little half second floor, so now it's like a little tri-level place, and they have an awesome little kitchen. Their kitchen is maybe like 8x8. They put out some great soups and some great flatbreads. They do a lot of really good beers. One of our draws to the place, too, is similar here to this place. Everything's recycled, reused, refurbed. Their backdrop behind their bar is an old sliding barn door, and it's still got the rollers up
there. Oh, that's cool.
Their stools are old science lab stools that they got from a school that closed down. Their community table is like a big science lab table
that's awesome.
Down. Along one wall, they've got a big piece of live edge wood that was cut out of some tree and made into a little bar against the wall drinking rail. And,
nice.
And Army. When we go back to Michigan, I try to always go to Vivant too. Love the farmhouse ales. In between here and there, we usually try to hit Delivery.
Okay.
It's just north of Greenbush. Usually Greenbush is too busy on the times that we go through, so we go up to Delivery. They always have a bourbon barrel and a sour on tap. Great place, great atmosphere. Locally, Dan said Workforce. Definitely love going to those guys. They put out some crazy beers, and you can go in there sometimes, and they'll have 13 or 14 different beers on tap.
Really?
And they're just on a little three-barrel system like us, too. It's amazing the quality and just the variety of beer they put out. On nights off, I'd like going over to Miskatonic once in a while, not too far from here. They put out some good beers and have a similar vibe and atmosphere. Other than that, I usually go to craft beer bars more because then I can get a
variety.
Everyone in the state. So.
All right. Well, I would like to thank you guys for letting us sit in and do this. We usually do our picks of the week, which biased Tony's car would probably be my pick. Brianna?
I think the Simeon Beaver.
Well, see, I was going to do a qualifier because technically Tony's car wasn't on our lineup. That was a special bonus, so I won't select that. I think, I'm on board. I think the Simeon Fever is probably, we both got a full pour of that one that we've been enjoying now. That I guess that's our picks of the week. We can't ask you guys to pick because that's like picking favorites of your children. So
I tend to tell people Simeon Fever is my favorite, but I think it's one of the recipes that I originally helped design and tweaked over the years. It's a beer you can drink anytime, all the time.
Yeah.
Tony's car is great. Funky Mucker is great, but... You know, if I want a beer early in the morning, I'm
exactly.
Gonna get some Simeon Fever.
I really enjoyed the
it was great with food.
The Funky Mucker, but see, I can't even say it right because like I put an N in there that's not there.
Yep.
But as far as like going back and getting pint after pint after pint, I wouldn't be able to do this. This I could drink all day. So I that kind of lends me to choosing that over the Funky Mucker. So, yeah. Simeon Fever. Plus, it's a monkey reference. And that's our word of the day. Yes. Yes.
It's a Six Finger Satellite song.
So there you go. Well, we hope if you find yourselves in the Romeoville area, or just when you're going up to Chicago next, just instead of keeping on 55 North, hop on 80 East, come over to Romeoville.
Yeah, there's a couple ways you can get to us right off 55, or you can take 80, get off at 80, and I'm not familiar with that way, but...
Did you come from Weber?
We took the Weber Road exit.
Yeah, that's pretty easy.
Yeah.
If you're coming north into Chicago,
it's worth the trip. It's a cool... Cool atmosphere, great beer. The staff is super helpful. And
they're warm your beer.
Yes. You will have taint warm beer. Thanks to Bro. So, yeah. Come check out Metal Monkey Brewing. And until next week, may your music be loud and your beers be cold. We'll see you in a week.
This has been a Fakakta Comedy Funhouse production. Produced by Dustin Wyckoff, executive produced by Blake Clayton. For more information and content, go to fcfnetwork.com.